You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
Primary consultant is myself because I have a very good brain and I've said a lot of things.
When you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
I like China. You can win against China if you're smart.
So don't tell me about China. I know China.
China! I beat the people from China. What the hell is going on?
It's time for State of the States.
I don't know, where to begin.
That's right, our weekly Thursday feature, State of the States, has returned. This week, we hear from our WNYU radio correspondent, Nick Sawani, who I spoke with this morning, on what kind of craziness has been going on over in the States this week. Been a big week in the States. Been a big week over there?
A lot's been happening with our... The soap opera continues with our president, as I like to say.
On the next episode of... I thought we could start off with the craziness that is Covfefe.
Right. So, you know, this is just another example of Sean Spicer not really... Like, Sean Spicer was given a job that no one really could be, like, trusted to do well, you know, managing the things that Donald Trump says. But... Yeah, essentially, after Donald Trump typed, despite the constant negative press, all that, Sean Spicer basically said that the president and a small group of people know exactly what he meant. Basically, that it was a typo, and Sean Spicer didn't really convey that properly. And, you know, this isn't a big deal. It's just a, like, this isn't a big deal that Donald Trump had a typo on Twitter. What the big deal is that this is just another example of the White House press secretary not really, clearly not having a clear line of communication with the president, and therefore the president not having a clear line of communication with our press, which is has very, very big implications about, like, transparency about what's going on in the government. It's definitely not doing anything well for our trust of our political system, which is no big surprise at this point. And yeah, there have been talks about Donald Trump getting a security team to vet his Twitter account and his tweets, but that's looking like it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, well, the tweet stayed up for so long. It was about five or six hours that it was up. What does that show? Like, no one was able to get to him and say, delete this.
Yeah, or if they did, he refused to. You know, Donald Trump's Twitter account is a direct line between the president and the people, which is something that is quite unprecedented, right? Like, the presidents in the past have always had... you know, people advising them in between them and what they say to the public. And, you know, this goes to show that maybe that's not exactly what we want when we have a president like Donald Trump.
Yeah, and also in terms of looking at his Twitter, his tweets do seem to be getting a lot more panicked, you could say, or a little, he's getting frustrated. I mean, with his approval rating, I mean, the collusion with Russia story is not going away. He's had minimal legislative victories. Is he panicking? The future of press conferences themselves seems to be in the balance, with Sean Spicer even saying no TV cameras are allowed at yesterday's briefing. What's happening there?
Yeah, you know, I'm no psychologist, but I think what a lot of people think is happening is Donald Trump is becoming very alone and isolated, because people in his team who stand up to him and has said, hey, you should be doing this. This is a bad idea. You need to get your stuff together. Those people have been removed from their positions in the White House or the Oval Office very, very quickly. And so advisors are scared to advise Donald Trump when he's doing something wrong, and because then they would lose their jobs. And so Donald Trump now doesn't have anyone to correct him or anyone to go to discuss these things. And it's a very isolating thing. And the only outlet that he really has for that is Twitter. It's not like really a condition you would want to see in the leader of this huge country, but that's what a lot of people are saying is happening.
Why do you think Trump is looking to reshuffle his cabinet?
I think it's a natural response to, you know, members of his former team now suddenly coming out. Like, Comey now said, has made comments about how Donald Trump asked him to stop the investigation about collusion with Russia in his campaign. Things like that are just really, so I think this is just a symptom of things like that, where Donald Trump doesn't know who he can trust on his team. I think it might backfire on him, because more and more people who he removes from office could come out and give incriminating information about him, because who knows what's out there. But I think that I don't think that like shuffling White House staff is really going to create any major differences in what we see Donald Trump or his administration doing. But it looks like he's scrambling to kind of fix the situation.
I read a funny tweet about how, you know, we had our fun overnight with the memes from Covfefe, but then we wake up in the morning and we're back to Paris climate, and Trump is looking more likely than ever to be leaving. Do you think that it's likely that this is going to be happening? I mean, we've got Ivanka and Rex Tillerson both urging Trump to stay. We've got Steve Bannon, who's in support of withdrawal, as no one seems to know what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, you know, I my guess is as good as the next person, but the fact that there's even a discussion of the United States pulling out of this, the Paris Climate Agreement was such a like phenomenal milestone when Barack Obama like was one of the leading people involved in it. And so the precedent that it sets that like internal politics in the United States affect these like global, like for the greater good agreements that normally aren't touched by internal politics in a country is really something that I think is cause for concern. From what I've seen before, like Steve Bannon has more influence on Donald Trump than Tillerson or anyone else. So if Bannon wants out, it looks like it's more likely than not that we'll pull out. However, there's a lot of like negotiation that must be done for that to happen. So we'll have to wait and see.
I mean, it's no secret Trump doesn't believe in climate change, but what does he actually have to gain by leaving?
I think that in the long term, energy companies in the United States especially have a large amount of influence on money in Washington. You see all the time, like big oil companies, these companies have a stake in American politics, and they're huge donors to the Republican Party. And even though the voter base of the Republican Party are not people who have interests in big money, the people who give the party money are. And so him doing this would be a way to satisfy those rich oil executives, because climate agreements and climate policy affects their profits. And at the end, that's kind of what they care about.
So over the weekend, there's been quite a lot of violence over in the States. There was a stabbing of three people trying to stop a racist attack on two Muslim girls. That was in Portland, and there was a Native American man who was run down in Washington, and an African American man was stabbed in California. Do you think that this is indicative of Trump's America being a more violent place? Are racially charged attacks getting more common?
Yeah, I've said this before here. Like, I think that like the biggest problem with Donald Trump is not that he made, you know, any of his policies. I think that one of the biggest things that he's done is he's kind of normalized this racism, and like, you know, there are a lot of people that have racist thoughts, right? But they have been told, I think rightly so, that like these are impulses that you should not act upon. These are things you should analyze and get past. But when Donald Trump, especially during his campaign, you know, just the rhetoric that he used was, you know, Muslims are terrorists and, you know, Mexicans are rapists. And suddenly you get people who see him and are, whoa, I think the same things that he thinks. And he's becoming the president, and he's becoming successful. And suddenly those thoughts become normalized. And, you know, most people still are not acting on their, like, racist thoughts. But the few that are the people that we're hearing about, right? It doesn't take many people to significantly increase the number of racist attacks and racially charged conflicts. And that's, I think, just a really, really unfortunate part of the Trump presidency, is the fact that the culture for some of these people is now changed, and there's a real normalization of these attacks. And even for people who aren't conducting these attacks or having racist thoughts, when you see a story about someone who isn't white getting killed or being involved in some kind of violence, when you see that story every week, or like this weekend, three stories from the same weekend, that also becomes normalized, and the media doesn't spend as much time on it because it's less of a rare occurrence. And so it becomes normalized across the board for everyone. And that's a really dangerous precedent that's been set.
Excuse me, I'm really rich.
That was State of the States.
Bye-bye.
How stupid is this?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.